Brian Had a Dream. 10,000 movies, 40 years. This is his journey, and this is your invitation to join along. This is the quest for 10,000.
Hello and welcome once again to the quest for 10,000. I'm Ben.
And I'm Brian.
Thank you so much for downloading, listening, and joining us for this journey as we go with Brian on his quest to watch 10,000 movies before he turns 40. In this episode, we tackle the genre of horror. As we approach Halloween, it's time to talk about scary, scary movies and how Brian has learned from them as he has gotten closer and closer to his goal.
I'm a little unprepared because I thought we were talking about horror movies because the election is right around the corner.
well, that also is a very scary season.
Maybe too scary. Season. Too scary.
Yeah. There could be children listening to this podcast. So we don't want to go too far on the gore, as it may be. Pun. But what we will get to eventually is all that, plus our top five, which I believe is going to be top five horror movie characters. That could be monsters, that could be protagonists, that could be anything in between as it comes to horror movies. But first, we need to check in and see where Brian is on his list. Brian, how many movies have you watched?
7,229.
And does that put you still on what you feel is a good pace for 10,000?
Yeah, about once a week I check in to see how many days I have left and where I'm at. It's about 2.73 per day, and roughly maybe 1,009 days or 1,000, right at 1,000 days. So, yeah, if I can stay I feel like if I can stay under three, keep it under three, then I'll be fine. If it starts to creep up to like three and a half, I feel a little less confident. But three, I think I can handle.
Maybe even a little scared. I tell you what, friends, the puns are going to be pretty thick in this horror-themed episode that we have for you. But Brian, tell us real quick, maybe one of your fears come true. You shared with me this week a story about an individual who has already beaten you to your goal. Tell us just a little bit about that. That's probably been the most interesting development in your quest.
I saw a headline. I was just, on the internet, and apparently the gentleman who founded IMDb, he has just watched his 10,000th movie, and they were celebrating this on IMDb. I guess when you found a website that big, you get, things celebrated for you. I did a little research. He's about roughly 10 years older than me, so I don't feel so bad. But it is a little bit like, stealing, a little bit of thunder stealing, but that's okay.
Now, did you try to reach out to him at all on Twitter?
I did. I challenged him to a race to 15,000.
And have you been back so far?
Absolutely not.
Apparently, when you're on IMDb, you don't have to listen to the little people who aren't even at 8,000 movies.
What are you? Yeah, like
8,000. Well, we'll show him with this continued quest and looking at genres. Our last episode, we talked generally about that topic, and we now go for a deeper dive on the genre of horror. Again, as we said, because when this episode airs, we will be very close to Halloween, and as Brian also said, the end of our long national nightmare of this political season.
Or so, the beginning. Depends on, we don't want to get into politics, but that's,
Touche. So, Brian, I've got to admit, we're doing this genre first because of the timing involved. It just makes sense. I don't know much about horror at all. It's not a movie genre I've ever explored very much. But it seems to me, in discussions we've had, it's a genre that you have come to appreciate more.
I would say so.
So maybe a good place to begin is to talk about what was before you started this intentional watching of movies to reach 10,000. What was your kind of opinion of horror? And then, you know, how had you kind of gotten more into the genre since your quest began?
Well, you know, when I was a kid, I was a little bit scared of horror movies in general, a little timid. And my younger brother, he took to it, you know, relatively early and kind of lorded that over me, you know, as if like I'm the big kid, you know, I've got this, I can do this, I can watch this movie and I don't cringe or cry or freak out. And so, you know, it became sort of a mental block where I just avoided them out of habit and out of like this just unaware and would allow myself to get frightened before I'd even see the movie, you know, and it's almost like the idea of it was more frightening than what it might be when I saw it. One of the first horror movies I remember going to see in the theater was actually a kind of a spoof movie, was Scream in 1995 or 6, I think it's 96. And you know, that was a sort of easing of that. But I still didn't watch a lot of horror movies until I started going through this and kind of forcing myself to go through some of the staples, if you will, or whatever. Some of the ones that I know that people that watch horror movies have seen. And some of them, most of them, especially most of the ones you find that are very popular, are really, really poorly done. they're not good movies. I mean, it's schlocky. It's overdone. There's no creativity. Very little creativity. But some of them, if you look, some of them are really good movies. And some of the best horror movies tackle something outside, have some sort of like larger point rather than just people being hunted down for sport.
Tell us a little bit more then about getting started and exploring. So where did you go? What list did you kind of look at first to try to jump in, so to speak?
Sure. The first horror movie that I would watch would be just the movies that made the general list, maybe IMDb's top 250 or Roger Ebert's Great Movies List. Those are the two big movie lists that I started with. And then it was like 1,001, movies to see before you die. But after I'm going through those lists, then I start seeing these other lists of specific like horror movies. It's like top, you know, IMDb has a section of top 250 horror movies, just limited to horror. Now, granted, you know, what is a horror movie? You can define that as loosely or as broadly as you want to. But you know, all of these have some reason that somebody somewhere thought they should be considered in the horror genre. So, you know, I go through that, and there's some other
Let's stop right there for just a second. I think that's an interesting point. What, to you, would define a horror film and perhaps separate it from, say, just a really intense psychological thriller?
Okay.
What's the difference?
Well, usually a horror film, if it has an element of the supernatural in it, that's going to tend to be horror to me. But it's more than just that. Also, if there's an element of like where the main antagonist doesn't have clearly identifiable like rationales for their killing or motives, because you know like Psycho, Norman Bates is not somebody you can figure out why he's killing these women that come to this hotel. Or a Leatherface in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, he's insane. So you know, if you go beyond that, then it becomes to me very rarely does a horror movie have somebody who's trying to kill people to accomplish a goal. You know, he doesn't have a an elaborate plot line that he's trying to get to. He's just killing people because that's just what he does. Or like I said, a lot of times there's a supernatural element to it as well.
Right. So you bring up someone like with Psycho, like Hitchcock, right? Hitchcock did Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
So Hitchcock had a lot of films you might categorize as horror. and others that you categorize
you know,
as
but
psychological
thriller. He didn't really have a lot of horror. Psycho, and in a lot of ways, Psycho was a reinvention, and Psycho's become the way in which we view his whole career now. But, you know, at the time, Psycho was sort of a departure for him. You look at his early stuff, it is mostly what I would call thriller as opposed to horror. Psycho, and then maybe The Birds. And after that, I suspenseful, sure. Thrilling, yes. Horror, not really, with the exception of maybe those two films. That's just not what he was doing.
Right. Here's the other thing about horror. I'm wondering if you would agree with this, now that you've explored it more. One thing that I've picked up, again, as an outsider, seen very, very few horror films. But as a genre, whereas with a lot of other kind of genre films, those films seem to be, from a marketing standpoint, or just even from a knowledge-based standpoint, really driven by, say, the actors who are in them, for the most part. But with horror, it seems to be a much more director-driven genre, or simply like a character-driven
or genre. Style drawn, or stylistic. Like if you know someone, and really most of the financial success of horror films, the most financial successful ones is A, because you don't have the overhead of having to get high-end actors. They're very cheaply made. So you can make a horror movie on a much smaller budget and get a lot more bang for it out of that budget. And for the most part, the ones that really take off are those that have some sort of like uniquely staged kills. You know, the more creative the deaths, the more people seem to flock to the movies. You know, the ones that are slower builds don't seem to be as financially successful, although to me are often more interesting.
So you mentioned a couple, you know, the ones that you kind of started watching, the ones that everybody needs to watch or that everybody
yeah.
knew. And then the other examples you found that you actually were drawn to more. Be more specific there. What were the ones
okay.
that you
well, like one movie
saw that you
okay.
didn't like that perhaps is more popular, and what's an example of something
okay,
you
were sure.
drawn to?
Sure. Okay. The to take a few of the ones that everybody thinks of, I think when you think of horror, the Friday the 13th movies, I think those are classic. In everybody's mind, it's like that's one of the classic slasher horror films. The first one was okay, but after that, to me, they just got more and more just outlandish and just, you know, coming up with more excuses as to why this character is still alive and having to fill in a backstory. The Halloween movies of Michael Myers, similar. That's because there's only so many times you can tell this story of this guy hunting down, trying to kill his sister without it just being...
Right.
And a lot of times they knowingly are going through the same beats, and it's the same,
right.
you know. So,
what were ones that you were drawn to more than after
okay.
you got past
well, one
those?
A couple of these, the two I'll mention here are amongst my top films. Period. The Shining by Stanley Kubrick's The Shining.
Right.
I really thought that was just a fantastic movie, and maybe you know. It may or may not be as strictly horror, but it certainly is a horror movie, in my opinion. And then the other one that I love The Exorcist. I think it's a fantastic film.
And what about those, other than perhaps budget or, you know, maybe some of the source material, The Shining, of course, based on the Stephen
okay.
King.
Yeah, although Stephen King didn't love that film version of his work. But I think that what both of those movies did for me is they were trying to do something to transcend the limitations of the genre. And they were they had a specific point of view and motive for their being there other than just creative ways to kill people.
So they had some
substance. They had some substance beyond. Now, there is nothing wrong. There is something to be said for the release of that, you know, being kind of startled out of your seat or whatever, and that can be cathartic in a way, and I understand and appreciate that. But these movies, while they had those elements, were going for something beyond just being a thrill show.
Sure. So So what is it that you think makes horror appeal so much to other audiences? Why is it that horror makes, the money it does at the box office, but why is it also maybe kind of it has a ceiling on it somehow?
Well, okay, one is because it's a very fear. It's a very primal, basic sort of response and emotion that you go to see a horror movie and you get kind of startled and you jump and you at the theater and you see everyone else in the theater is kind of cringing and jumping at the exact same moment you are. So it's this shared, like, we all get it. There's nothing like you don't have an interpretation of it that's different from me. We all know exactly what took place here. We're all on the same kind of common ground as to what we just experienced. And we don't have a lot of shared experiences like that where everybody comes out of it thinking, so I think it's very basic. I think that helps with people. And it also there becomes a sort of like, and this is maybe more true amongst men than women, but it becomes sort of like what happened with my brother and I, where it becomes sort of a metaphorical one-upsmanship, where I can take this, but you can't.
Like an
And
endurance
it,
test somehow.
yeah.
Yeah, and it strikes me too that it's almost, the first part you said is almost like it's escapist in the sense that, hey, better to be afraid of the stuff on the screen than to be afraid of what's outside of us, right? We need to have, as you said also, that cathartic kind of release of fear, anxiety, and isn't it better that we can do that in an hour and a half kind of experience inside a theater rather than out in the real world somewhere
Sure.
in
And
that
it's the
sense?
same, it's the same thing that we, I think, go for in both most of our basic genres. We are, the reason we are attracted to them is because of their simplicity and the way they sort of fall into these archetypes. But one thing horror has going for it is we are all, for the most part, going to be scared of the guy with the chainsaw coming at us through the woods. But if you go to a comedy film, some people may not think that's funny. I mean, we may not all get the same response to, because some people may go to some movie that, oh, that's too for me. Or some people may say, oh, that's too sophisticated and kind of over my head. Whereas everybody has the exact same, or I won't say everyone, I don't want to overgeneralize, but the vast majority of people have the same response to these sort of movies.
There's a bit more objectivity to it, I think,
Yeah,
is what you're saying. And that's interesting. I
exactly.
haven't thought about that before. I haven't thought about that before. Before we go, wanted to think about if you've seen any horror movies that you think are particularly creative, that have been innovative, that have tried to reinvent the genre, and maybe take a minute or two to talk
Okay.
about some of those. The movies I'm kind of thinking of, Scream that you mentioned,
I like Scream a
the
lot with the
Saw
first one.
movies.
The
Some
Saw.
folks said that kind of brought horror
I have
back to the
not.
genre.
I have not seen. I saw the first Saw movie, and I have not yet seen Saw 2 through 5, or I think it's 5. But the first one, I thought, and I do understand the term that gets thrown around, torture porn, and I get what they're saying. But I thought it was just really, really well done, and did ask legitimate questions about, what would you be willing to do to survive and that kind of stuff. So I did have no problems with, or enjoyed it. And going back a little bit more though, Blair Witch Project is the same type of thing. It not only reinvented horror, it created its own genre of film that we still, and it may not have been the first found footage film, but it was surely is the first one that really tapped into the national psyche. And so, Blair Witch Project, Paranormal Activity is a similar type of movie that did the same thing.
So, would you say that it's fair that some of the activity that makes horror perhaps more accessible also limits it in some way? I mean, there's only so much that you can do to scare someone. It just seems to be it's a law of diminishing returns, perhaps, after a while. What do you think about that?
Well, I agree with you, and there's a stigma associated with horror, I think, to where it's, you know, it's been kind of pigeonholed as being something of popular entertainment and not really worthy of the same sort of critical acclaim or discussion that other types of films are frequently receive. And some of that, too, is because, and it works both ways, but the quality of the people involved in horror is typically not, if it is someone who is a big name, chances are it was at the beginning of their career when they were trying, when they were willing to do just about anything. That's why Jennifer Aniston is in Troll 2, or, you know, or other...
Jamie Lee Curtis is in all the Halloween...
Or Leonardo DiCaprio is in one of the Tremor films. So it's just, you know, that's what you do, and then they're never going to do that again.
Right.
Or Johnny Depp in Nightmare on Elm Street.
What would you say, last question, what would you say to someone who was thinking about getting involved in the horror genre, to watch a couple of movies? What advice would you give them to kind of help them navigate that experience?
Well, you know, the main thing I would say, you're asking somebody that has not seen a lot of horror movies, what would I recommend they do?
Right.
Okay. Well, I mean, I would say a good place to start is the ones that that everybody, you know, talks about. And that way you have something in common with other. And I think even amongst those, once you talk to people, they'll have other smaller, lesser sort of gems that you'll find. And those are the ones that are really interesting, the ones where people are just throwing things at the wall to see what they can come up with. And I do think that horror movies, because a lot of times they are being made on a shoestring budget, that they are necessity is the mother of invention, and they are creating things and experimenting in new ways of telling a story that maybe bigger budget films won't do because they can't afford to take that risk.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for this conversation, Brian. Listeners, you tell us, what do you think of horror movies? Drop us a line on Twitter at 10kmovies, TENK Movies, or on Brian's blog, 10kmovies.com. Next time, our genre discussion will take us into the area of romantic comedy, perhaps the best known genre that we have out there. But before we get to that, of course, next episode, we've got to do our top five. And this top five is going to be top five horror film characters. So, okay. Brian, hit us with whatever it is you got.
Okay. Well, number five is a bit of a tie because I think that they're more or less the same character, just in two different film installments. But it is a tie between Jason Voorhees and Michael Myers because it's the same. They're almost identical in a way, in a lot of ways, as far as how they go about their bit. And both of them started off as deranged individuals who then slowly became this kind of supernatural force of nature that could not be stopped. So that's my number five. At number four, we alluded to the movie, and it's a great movie, but the unfortunate sequels are not very good. But Norman Bates is my number four character. I think that's just not just horror movies, but he's one of the most recognizable and just iconic characters of all time.
Yeah, iconic was what I was thinking.
Yeah,
of.
Yeah. You just can't, you know, if you think of a crazy person in a film, Norman Bates is going to be one of the people you think of within the top five, I think, just because it's just so intriguing. And, you know, now the movie's nearly 60 years old and we're still talking about it, so. Number three, a movie that I'm sure was huge about the time, age years, Hannibal Lecter. Silence of the Lambs, and just that movie. You can argue it may not be a horror movie, but it's pretty horrific. But he's just an iconic character.
Yeah, now that is interesting, because again, that would be one of those.
It's a border.
Right on the line of. It is. Of horror, psychological thriller, you know, the serial killer, but yeah, not really a supernatural element.
But when you're eating,
that's interesting. That one's a little surprising to me.
Well, cannibalism tends to put you over the top. But,
true. That is
and number two. Okay. This character has relevance, unfortunate relevance today. But Pennywise the Clown from It.
Ooh. Yeah.
I mean, I know that if you're thinking of horror movies, I know we all watched that miniseries. We've seen parts of the miniseries with Tim Curry as the clown. And if you have watched it recently, it's not very well done. It's too long. It's slow. And 30 years later, it's very tame. But that image of him as the scary clown is just, it's chill inducing.
Clowns scare people a lot anyways. So clown, then demonic clown, and then the fact that there's all these reports about people dressed up as clowns hiding in the woods, coming out to scare people. Horrible. Here are my two memories, though, of it, seeing it as a kid. Actually, three memories. So first memory was, look, there's that guy from The Waltons, John Boyd. Number two was, why is Bozo the Clown in this movie? And number three was, it's a clown. I should, this will be a fun movie. And then suddenly it's a demon, and I'm just scared out of my freaking mind. My mom's like, you don't need to watch this.
To me, there was another one that got me, too, was like, why is Jack Tripper from Three's Company here? Like, what is he doing?
Also in that film. Oh, Pennywise. If something is going to be scarier than a clown, more iconic than a scary clown, not sure I want to hear it.
This one gets bonus points because I think it's one of the most inventive conceits. And I'm going with Freddy Krueger. The idea of someone that can invade your dreams and they can just, because really, the film series sold him short. I mean, this is a guy that can get in your dreams. He can do whatever, so that's just, to me, that's just such a fun idea of, where you can go. And I don't know that the series always took it as far as it could have, if they were so interested in falling into formulaic convention.
It's a good example of what we talked about already in the, a lot of the horror movies. The first one is really maybe groundbreaking, innovative, creative, but then you keep doubling down on it, and after a while, it just can't quite get there. And Freddy maybe is a great example of that, where much more sinister, much more in the shadows in that first film, and then of an outlandish character.
Yeah, certainly by the fourth or fifth film, they were going for humor in a lot of ways.
Even to the point where somehow he kind of became a hero in some sense. He kind of looked at it to root for how horrible he was going to be.
And what's interesting about that is the guy that Wes Craven, who was responsible for, he's also responsible for Scream movies, and you can see him developing that tone throughout the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. Kind of twisting it into this dark humor that he then fully embraces by the time he gets to Scream.
Well, I find it interesting, Brian, that in your top five, you list primarily characters who are in those movies that most people would say, if you're going to watch horror, watch, and not nearly as many characters from maybe some of the movies.
Part of that is because those characters, the characters in the movies that I really enjoy more as films, are standalone films in a lot of ways, in a lot of instances. So the character doesn't seep as much into your, Freddy is in like 6-7 movies. Jason's in like 9 or 10, so they have a much more of an opportunity. And when they're in a movie like that, every couple of years, they're going to pop back up in your consciousness,
So even though they may not be as creatively deep,
satisfying,
they have a way of sticking with you.
Exactly.
And that's maybe also what horror does. We hope that the horror of our elections don't stick with us too terribly long. And friends, we hope that your Halloween is actually a good time spent with family, friends, and as much candy as you possibly can eat without getting sick. Brian and I will be back with you in about another 2 weeks. This time we're taking a complete 180 and going to romantic comedy as our next genre. But until then, we hope that your week is a 10.
10 plus.
Borderline 11.